Wasn't the music unusually happy this morning? I don't know if any of you have ever been around sheep. I had an uncle that had a sheep farm out near Dexter, Michigan. And he maintained about 1,000 sheep on that farm all the years that I knew him. His wife in her very late 90s is still living on that farm, but they don't have sheep anymore. Oh, they did have a sheep, didn't they? They had a few sheep, but He's gone home to be with the Lord. But there's something unique about sheep. You cannot drive sheep. You cannot drive them like you drive cows. If you try to drive sheep, they scatter and go everywhere. Like trying to herd cats, you know. Sheep have to follow. And in order for them to follow, they have to have a shepherd or a leader. And they have to trust that shepherd or leader. Now, if they don't trust a man, I've seen people try and lead sheep that they did not trust because they didn't know him. And they didn't follow him. They wouldn't. So the title for the message this morning is the mission of our church, because it's not any individual. It's not just a corporate body, but it is made up of individuals corporately all gathered together. And you are the ones who determine where we go. It's not necessarily the pastor or the deacons, but it's the people, the individuals within the church. I'd like to have you turn to Colossians 1, verses 18 through 20. Colossians 1, verses 18 through 20. And Colossians tells us, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We are all part of this church. And what that translates into is that each of us are a peculiar part. Some are more peculiar than others, but each of us are a peculiar part of this ministry. And when I use that word peculiar, I mean that each of us have a unique place to fill. We've got a mission to perform for his glory, and that's the mission that we want to be sure is according to God's will and under the leading of his Holy Spirit. And so each one of us are a part of that. Now, when I say that we have a mission, it's sort of, a mission is a military term, and those of us who have been in the military know what a mission involves. It's a goal that usually is set for us. And it filters down from the commander-in-chief, who would be God in his holy, Jesus Christ, and now through the Holy Spirit. And it is given to the lesser officers, and that could be the deacons and the pastor. And we are to follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit in what we do. And in a little while, corporately all together, we are going to try and decide what God wants us to do within this next year. And it's a very important thing, because we're talking about God's will, or the will of God, being a part of what you are going to be doing and what I am going to be doing for the next 12 months. When a military team, I think this mic is on, AB, I'm getting feedback. When the military, thank you, sets up a mission, everybody on the team has to fulfill their place. And if they don't, one of two things happens. Either the mission fails, or someone on the team has to do two jobs. Now, we don't want our mission for this next year to fail. We want to make sure that we accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And it may not be something that we have never done before. And then again, it may be something that we have done sometime in the past, but we need to resume doing it again. So we'll get into that. But later today, we're going to make some decisions about what we're going to attempt to do in the next year. And we want to do that under the leading of God's Holy Spirit. I hope you're all prayed up about this. That you confessed up, first of all, so God will hear your prayers. And then that you're prayed up and you have asked him what you might be able to do for him in this next year. Now, the first thing we're here to do is worship God. And we want to make sure we do that. But then we're here to learn more about him, and we just spent an hour in Sunday school doing that. But we're also here that we might better glorify our Heavenly Father. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, I know that Zachary's going to be going to the wilds as a camper in training. I hope he is, if they'll accept him. And I don't think that's questionable at this time. But anyway, the wilds uses this verse before every meal. Let me read that again. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink," and we love to do that, "or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So as we begin this new year of battle against the forces of evil, and that may be, sorry about that. I hope that'll work. As we begin our battle against the forces of evil and the devil, and we are going to be battling them this year. We battled them last year. You are battling the forces of evil. You are battling the devil in your life. Different ways he's getting a hold of you. Different ways he's setting up obstacles for you. But as we battle, sometimes there are many, many fronts. Different places in our lives, different things in our lives that don't quite seem to be going the way we think they should. We know from Sunday school, Janice is having a problem with hot water. And that may seem like a small problem to some, but if you're the one taking the cold shower and you're the one screaming, you know, the screams probably are bothering the neighbors, and it doesn't do them any good to call 911. We had a water break out here this week, and I called 911. It was a main. We had a main break back here. 7.5 minutes later, they still hadn't answered. Now, if it had been somebody bleeding, they would have bled out during that time. And we have tried 911 three times that I know of. Once when lady passed out here, held for 3 or 4 minutes, no answer. So we want something working better than 911 in our lives. At least I do. We're all involved in this battle. Nobody's going to have it easy. You're going to have battles. You're going to have skirmishes. And it's going to be by the grace of God that you get through it without any permanent damage. Yes, we may have to make some sacrifices in order that we as a ministry are more successful this year. But last year, we had some successes. And it wasn't because of any individual. It was because of God's grace. And God pours out His grace. If you look that word up, I hope you do word studies sometimes. You don't have to have a whole bunch of books. If you got a computer, you can do a word study. Just pick any word. The word grace doesn't just appear in the New Testament. God's grace existed throughout the Old Testament. And so we benefit from God's grace. Now, we haven't even gotten into the message yet, so before we do, let's go to the Lord and pray. Let's ask Him to help us get through this. Father, we want Your will in our lives. We want to do what You would have us to do. And Father, sometimes we're going to need courage. Sometimes we're going to need knowledge. Sometimes we might even need wisdom, and we know where to get that, Father, because You have told us in the book of James, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of Thee. And so, Father, as we begin this message this morning, we do ask for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding. May Your Holy Spirit have His way in every heart. May Your will be done during the course of this next year. May Jesus Christ be glorified. And Father, we will praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, these verses that I opened with, first Colossians 1, 18 through 20, they're packed full of teachings about Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He is doing. He is still working in all of our lives. And so I want us to take a little time this morning to unpack these verses and see how they might affect some of us or all of us. It'll be up to us. But these verses have to do with what this ministry is supposed to be involved in. And if you are here, you are a part of this ministry. And so these verses are dealing indirectly with us. We'll start with verse 18. Remember now, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the head of the church, which is His body in the world. He wants his body to accomplish particular goals while it is in the world. There's a day coming when we're all going to leave this world. But while we're here, might as well be doing something. And it would be so nice if it happened to be in line with God's word and in line with the will of God. The body, us, has arms and legs and eyes and ears. And the eyes, we can see needs around us. We can see opportunities if we're using spiritual eyes as we try and determine what God would have us specifically do. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. And we, his body, have been born again from the dead because we were once dead in trespasses and sins. And if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been born again. You're alive today. Your soul is alive. And God has something that he wants all of us to do. The reason that God worked it out that way was so that Jesus would always be preeminent. He's the reason that we are here. And he is preeminent throughout the universe. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name. Therefore, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." I talked to an atheist yesterday. I don't know what his wife believes. He was an older man, and I can say that, probably my age. But he didn't believe there was a God. And one of the things, by the way, folks, we have new gospel tracts. We have a new supply, not a new tract, but a new supply, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. We went through 2,000 gospel tracts in about a year and a half. We have a resupply of 3,000 more. So if you need gospel tracts, be sure and help yourself. But on the back of a gospel tract, I don't happen to have one in this, not in this suit. On the back of our gospel tract is the name of the church, the address, times of the services, the website, and the email. And if you're trying to get somebody to come to church, invite them to church, give them the tract, show them the back of it, as to the service times and things, and say, "Here, you can follow this. This will tell you when you need, when we meet." And if you can get them to take that, then you've got the gospel in their hands, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. If they turn it over, they are actually, you're going to see them start reading it. And they're getting the gospel. Now, they might throw it away when they get out of your sight. This particular fella, an atheist, I offered him the tract, and he didn't want to take it, but he took it. I managed to get it into his hand. And when his wife came, they were shopping, they were out at the mall. And when his wife came out, he handed it to her and told her, "Some guy just gave this to me." As I saw them walk through the mall, she was reading it. I don't know what their background is. He said they don't go to church. So use the tracts. Get them into people's hands. And just give them the back of the tract will tell you where the church is, the church location, and tell you when all the services are. And they'll take it for that, not thinking about what else might be in there. Verse 19 of Colossians 1 tells us that God established Jesus as the source of all blessing and power for his church. Remember that. We don't have power. Jesus is the power. If you remember Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, we may be in heaven one day, but right now we're on earth. And all power belongs to Jesus. And so he wants to make that power available to his body. That's us. What this indicates for us is that if we're going to accomplish anything, we're going to have to do it in the power of Jesus Christ. We can't do it in our own strength. And why? Because he gave us some orders. The next two verses in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. We're entering a new year, and we are going to make some decisions about how we're going to use the next year in his service. As we consider how we're going to invest our time, and that's what it is, it's an investment, we must acknowledge what these three verses in Colossians are telling us about our situation. We are the church, the body of Jesus in the world. Jesus is in heaven at the Father's throne, making intercession for us. His word tells us that. The Holy Spirit has come to the earth to empower us, to indwell us. And then we are told that we are ambassadors for Jesus in this world. And we should be doing what he would be doing. 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus made peace for us with God when we were his enemies. You might say, well, I was never an enemy. The Bible says we were. Romans 5, 10, and 11. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We are no longer supposed to be the enemy of God. We are on his side, at least we're supposed to be, because Jesus reconciled us to him. So what are we going to do this coming year to accomplish the purpose of God for this ministry, for each of our own lives are invested in this ministry? Let's start with personal things that we can and should do to please God. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. How'd everybody do on reading the Bible through in a year? Did you make it? Did you read it through more than once? Have you read it this morning? That's the way we should start every day, is in God's Word. Why? That I might not sin against God. If we're going to be ministers, if we're going to be ambassadors, We've got to be on his side. We've got to be filled with his teachings. And we're going to do that by spending time in the Word. And if you didn't get all the way through this year, start over. Do it again. And make sure you get through. If that's first thing every day, and you don't get to it because you oversleep or you know something happens, make sure before that day is out that you catch up on what you're supposed to be reading and the schedule that you're on. There's all kinds of schedules available. What new thing have you learned about Christ from God's Word? What new thing have you learned about God? Or what new thing have you learned about His Holy Spirit today already? Have you prayed a specific prayer for someone today? I know we had prayer requests this morning in Sunday school. What biblical principle did you apply yesterday to your life? Did it work out the way God said that it would? Now here's a good one. Have you talked your plans over with God? You say, well, he can't answer. Yes, he can. He will. And sometimes when we just verbally, either in our mind or audibly with our mouth, talk things over with God, we can expect him to. We can expect some guidance from him. And we can expect things to work out. We're supposed to be talking to him. We do when we pray. Just talk over your life with him. Talk over the things that are going on in your life, the things that are important. He knows about them already. And he knows a way to work them out so that they'll come out the way they should. Spend some time talking things over with the Lord every day. You might want to consider talking over situations with him before trying to fix them yourself. Because he can fix them. The deacons and I talked over some things that we can begin doing as a church family to help one another in our communities. Many of us are in our 60s, 70s, 80s. So when we talk about young people, okay, when I talk about young people, we're talking about anybody under 50. And the young people might not understand that. So we talked over reducing the age down to 30, okay? Young people or anybody under 30. We need to get young people involved in our church. And there's several ways we can do that. We can designate an area for their use on a regular basis. And there is an area that we can do that to. There's a ping pong table there. There's a foosball table there. There's even a pool table there. Have a little problem playing pool right now. There's no balls or cues, but we'll try and fix that within the next week. But wouldn't it be great if we could invite just young people to come in and have a good time of fellowship under supervision, not turn them loose to go wild. We could even provide snacks, time of devotion, say one night a week, one evening a week. But for sure, one evening a month to start with. We want to have a family night. We want to come, we want our church folks to come here and maybe play games and visit and snack. So we're going to give you a chance during our business meeting to decide if you want to do that or not. That's one possibility. It's your decision. Last month, well, there's a verse we zeroed in on if we're going to do this. Proverbs 18:24. You know it. You've heard it. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, last month, the ladies involved in the heart-to-heart had lunch and then went to a nursing home to minister to people who were sometimes forgotten by their families, by their friends. And it's not necessarily through any fault of their own. They've gotten old, they've gotten infirm, they've gotten sick. Some have physical needs. And most of the ladies who were involved in that activity were blessed. They really were. They were also a very great blessing to the ladies that they ministered to. Wouldn't it be great if, as a church in this coming year, we adopted a home that helps people like that? That once a month, our ladies could do something for them or with them. Sometimes it's just a matter of going out and listening or presenting a devotion and singing some hymns together. That brings them back to a time that it was much happier and much more fulfilling in their lives. But there are many nursing homes around here that you ladies could minister to. Just adopt one. It could become a regular activity. And the church would be interested in supporting that kind of an activity. If it took some funds, the church would provide them. Now, we also, you men, don't get relaxed. You're next. We have men in our church who know how to do things. There are people around who need things done. And it would be great if our men could somehow make a connection with those who have needs, those who cannot meet those needs. Maybe they're widows, maybe they're elderly, maybe financially they can't do this. And we're not going to be a bank or anything. We're not going to finance projects for people unless the Lord tells us to. But our men could minister at the same time that they were representing Coastal Shores Baptist Church. And that would be why they're ministering. They're ministering because they love the person they're ministering to. That could be set up as a regular monthly thing. We meet together for dinner on the last Saturday of each month. We can make sure that the last day, last Saturday of each month, during the day, we do something for somebody. That would be a start, once a month. So see, there are things we could do as a ministry. Luke 14:23 says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled." Brings up a question. Are we the Lord's servants? Are there people out there that we could help get to church? That could develop into another arm of ministry for this church. So, as you can begin to see, with Jesus Christ as head of the body, of which we are all a part, we know, if we know Jesus as our personal Savior, and I trust that we all do, He's reconciled us for service. There are just two places that he says we can serve him based on Colossians 1:18 through 20. One place is here on earth, where we happen to be right now. The other place is in heaven. So as long as we're here, why don't we figure out something we can do? I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying my time on earth serving the Lord. It actually is fun. It really is. I can't think of anything else I would do. Now, I've got a benefit that you may not have. I'm involved in full-time ministry. You guys have got to earn a living. But we can have fun together. I can tell you one thing, his service is sweet. There's no bitterness in it. Disappointment, occasionally, but his service is sweet. And we have a special opportunity to get even more involved in his service during our limited time here on earth. Now, I have spent some time meditating about the ministry of this church. I've come across other ways that we as a church family could minister to our communities. And I'm not sharing these things with you saying that these are things that we should do, but I'm just saying these are things that can be suggested that we do. Our ministry is only limited by our vision. What do we see as God's purpose for our being here? Many of the schools have mentoring programs. What if they could pick up the phone knowing, hey, I can get somebody from Coastal Shores. We've got a school right back here that could use some help. There was a time when some of our people were reading to the kids back there. They were helping the teachers. And then when we changed ownership of the school to a new school, that sort of got dropped by the wayside. But I checked, there are opportunities for any of us to minister. And wouldn't it be great if we got involved in with public library, sitting there reading something to the kids, representing Jesus Christ in Coastal Shores Baptist Church. Now, they don't want you preaching at the kids, but just the fact that the adults, those in charge, know they can get help, that will be very important to them. The opportunities for our church to minister are only limited by our vision of what God can use us to do. And this coming year, we can be available to the Lord for service, or we can resist the leading of God's Holy Spirit and retreat from serving our Lord by maintaining the status quo. You will be the one that makes the decision. That's sort of hard to get out of, isn't it? Before we close this service, there are two verses in Matthew chapter 6 and 7 that I would like us to look at. They have to do with the command that Jesus gave his followers. The first is Matthew 6, 33. Many of you haven't memorized. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Obedience to his command, to the command from our Lord, requires a great change in philosophy for most of us. As we live our lives and we get tangled up in the things that we get tangled up in life, family, personal desires, normal circumstances of life, complications placed in our path by our enemy. These things steal our time, and they distract us from doing what God wants us to do. What God has ordained us to do as a church, as His body. The church winds up coming in last place, usually, or second to last. You know, the early church came first for all of the people that were in it. Some of them even sold their homes and property to fund the activities of the church. I'm not advocating that. I did preach a message one time saying that we should be willing to give everything to Christ. And there was a lady here in the congregation who took it the wrong way, and she left because she's been telling people ever since that I wanted her to sell her house and give it to the church. That's not what I said. We have to give ourselves to the Lord completely. Time and again, we read about sacrifices made by the people of the early church for the sake of the mission of the church. And if we have no mission, the only thing that we will accomplish is nothing. We believe, I do, and the church does, in the priesthood of the believer. That means that you are your own priest between you and God, not between me and God or me and you. God wants to directly communicate with you because He has something for you to do. I've got my own things to do. So we need to spend some time at the beginning of the year determining, okay, Father, what do you want from me this year? We need to set goals. We need to have ambitions that we want to see fulfilled. Personally, we do those things. Why can't we do them as a church? Why can't we do these things as the body of Christ? If we as a church move forward, your faith and your belief will be responsible for what gets accomplished. If we do not move forward, we'll have to assume the credit for the failure ourselves. The power of the church is Jesus Christ. We are just servants. The power is available according to our faith. I believe that we have taken great steps forward in the last year. But I believe also that there are many other great steps that we can take forward this year. And I want to see us do that. Who knows where it'll take us? Look at all the things God has permitted and used us to accomplish this year. Earlier last year, I began talking about getting the Word of God into the hearts and minds of men. And it came together in the form of an electronic sign where we're going to have four rows of writing. Four lines on that sign for all the people who are wind up parked out here for a minute or two. In the morning, in the evening. And you caught a vision for that. And you put feet to that vision. And now we're waiting for that sign to be installed. It is, the cabinet has already been manufactured. The electronics have come in from California. They're getting put together. And like I said, within the next couple of weeks, that sign will be out there, telling people about God. Telling people about what we're doing here. Why we're here. So, we've taken some giant steps. But there are many more giant steps we can take. It just has to do with our vision. What do we see God accomplishing through us? We're not robots. I don't understand. I am on the internet. I get a lot of emails every day, and I don't read most of them, but I get a lot of internets every day. And sometimes when you go to respond, the first, there's a little box that says, I'm not a robot. I don't know what that means. But I'm not. We're not robots. But you know what? We're not just plain people either. We're God's people. And God expects something from His people special. And I'm looking forward to that day that He uses each one of us to accomplish what is special. We're the children of God. We have a vision. We have a ministry. And like one of the songs we sang this morning, to God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, You have accomplished so much in the hearts of Your people and in the lives of Your people. And Father, You have given us safety. You have given us health as You deemed fit. And Father, so we trust Thee to guide us, to use us, to lead us in this year to come. When we adjourn here, Father, and we go get lunch, and then we meet together in the Sunday school room, and we have our annual business meeting, God, we ask that You will lead and direct each one. Thank You for what You have accomplished this year. Thank You for the many blessings that You have bestowed upon each one of us through Your grace this year. Father, may Your will be done in every life here this morning, and we will praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.